Okay, we're recording. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I don't know what the correct adjective is right now. I don't want to say something generic like so excited. I'm thrilled. I'm overjoyed. Super emotional about today's guest. Is my dear friend Annie Fitzgerald. Say hi, Annie.
Hi.
I don't even know how I'm gonna say your bio in just a second, Annie, but just for the listeners, when I'm around Annie, I have this, I don't even know how to explain it, this odd sense of like complete calm and peace with like all these sparks of light and fire intermingled, where I don't know what that emotion is called, like being super calm and super like pumped up at the same time. But I, as you all know, because you listen, I'll probably cry a lot, and Annie probably will too, because that is who we are.
True.
We both have our tissues next to us, so you're gonna hear some crying today because that is who we are. So I'm gonna tell y'all Annie's bio, and then we're gonna get going. Okay, here we go. Annie Fitzgerald is a sound healer, Reiki practitioner, transformational astrology guide, co-owner of Under the Moon Events, co-facilitator of Full Moon Magic, and an established singer-songwriter in the Minneapolis area. That's a lot of stuff, my friend. Her music has been described as a blend of Tori Amos. Oh, yeah. Okay. Go back, Nikki. Don't stop interrupting the bio. Her music has been described as a blend of Tori Amos's intellectual appeal, Sarah McLachlan's mystical charm, and Edie Brickell's Baroque spirit. Since the release of her first EP in 2005, Annie has released two full-length records, numerous singles, been honored by the Songwriters Hall of Fame as an artist to watch, and was part of the New York City indie scene before she welcomed a move back to her home and community in Minnesota with its a newfound sense of space to create. Annie is a co-founder of the Valkyrie Music Collective based in Minneapolis, which aims to create opportunities for change, balance, and community in the music industry. Oh, I should say that different. Creating opportunities for change and balancing community in the music industry. She is also a part of the Me Too Minneapolis Collective that released a record named 2020's Top 10 Albums by the Star Tribune. Annie has explored several transformational modalities over the years, and sound healing has been whispering to her since 2012. When Annie experienced her first sound journey with her now teacher, musician, and sound healer, Three Trees, in 2018, there was a seed of knowing planted that she would go on to deepen her knowledge and commitment to the healing properties of sound and energy. Annie is a certified soulmonic sound therapist and has stepped into a practice infusing Reiki into her personalized sessions. Annie facilitates Reiki-infused group sound journey sessions at several locations throughout the metro area. She also brings sound healing, active listening, and meditation to companies and organizations as workplace wellness. Annie, along with her colleague Dawn Marion, can be found bringing the art of rituality, sacred events that uplift the heart and soul, to groups as Under the Moon Events. She's been using astrology for 10 years as a tool for self-discovery and loves weaving its wisdom into her work. Annie's original music can be found on all of the streaming platforms, and she can be seen playing in and around the Minneapolis area. Wow.
That's a long bio. I'm sorry.
it's no longer than anyone else's. This is a great bio, actually. I want you to write mine because it's chock full of like all of the highlights. And I could read this and be like, I know how to find this person. So that's good. Mine is like, Nikki likes dogs.
I am very much guessing that is not the truth.
I hate writing bios. I absolutely understand the importance of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I ask everyone that's a guest here to send one, mm-hmm. even though I hate them. But I don't know if I just want someone else to write mine.
Yeah, no, that's necessary. I would love to write your bio. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Yeah. Done.
Done.
Send me all your stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Except I kind of know all of your stuff, so I feel like it would be helpful.
You do. Annie has this, I don't know, what do you call it? An intuition and knowing? Like, Annie just knows people. Mm. Like understands people. I saw you walking up the sidewalk today, and immediately my eyes filled with tears. And it was not because I was sad. Well, firstly, I haven't seen you in at least a year.
Mm-hmm. Too long.
Probably long. Yeah, it's always too long. But I just was like, oh, I'm about to see my Annie. Mm. You know, Annie just...
I think that there's... I think that you and I and a lot of our musician friends and theater friends and artistic friends and big feeler friends mm-hmm. have been lucky enough to find each other again in this life. There's mm-hmm. something that I heard on a podcast that resonated so much. It was Tracy Ellis Ross, and she was talking about how she has these cauldron sisters, and they're all sort of like made of the same sort of pot, and they swim in the same soup, and then they have all of these experiences and these things, and then they go off into their next life and say, okay, I'm going to find you again. And mm-hmm. And I think that I gravitate towards my cauldron sisters and brothers and non-binary friends because there's this truth and knowing of one another that's authentic,
yeah,
and real and deep and supportive. And that's the energy I want to be around.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like a magnet.
Mm-hmm.
You're attracting it.
Mm-hmm. And there's just this, I think, knowing and presence of unconditional love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just beautiful. Mm. Cauldron Sisters. I'm going to have to look that up. Yeah. I love Tracy Ellis.
Oh, my gosh. She's like, I love her too. Amazing. I want to be her.
You do? You want to be her?
I kind of do. I just think I just love how free she is.
Yeah. Yeah,
like her expression. She's just unapologetically herself all the time. And I just think that that's just so brilliant. She's brilliant.
But see, I see that in you.
Well, thank you.
Just unapologetically yourself all the time.
I think that I step more and more into that. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's always a part of me that wonders what I could do more of to step more fully into that, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's part of the journey for me anyway.
So Annie and I, gosh... How do we know each other? Well, we know each other through theater. I remember the first time I saw you. I don't know if I've ever told you this. Mm-hmm. You were doing a show at what was Bloomington Civic Theater mm-hmm. at the time. I think it was Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, that's mm-hmm. the first time I ever saw you.
Mm-hmm.
I remember looking up to be like, who is this girl? Because, although this is unimportant, Annie's just beautiful. Like, she's beautiful to look at, and so you just automatically look at her because she's beautiful. And you lit up the stage without... You're like my favorite kind of performer because you're just doing your job. You're not trying to what we call upstage anybody, but the eye is just drawn to you because you're so passionate and into the moment, and you're such a gorgeous dancer. I don't think I heard you sing in that show probably. But when did we actually meet? Because I didn't meet you then.
No, the next show I did with Bloomington Civic was it was Broadway My Way 2 or something, and I ended up Blake Hambrick was in the audience from the Ordway, and
yes.
he invited me to audition for Anything Goes at the Ordway, which was the first show that we were in
yes.
together with Sandy Duncan and
with
Jim Walton.
Sandy yes. Duncan.
It was that was such a cool thing. Yeah. So that was the first show that we got to do together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was shortly after that.
So that, I don't even remember what year that was. It probably doesn't matter, but I want to say it was like 2003
or 2004
or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe 2002.
Yeah, so we did Anything Goes together mm-hmm. at the Ordway. Mm-hmm. My favorite story to tell about the Ordway, well, besides the fact that Sandy Duncan is a freaking riot and she's so sweet and I love her.
She wrote every single one of us cards.
Every single one of us.
All of these people that, yeah, it was, she yeah. was, I love her.
Yeah, and Jim Walton, mm-hmm. who you mentioned him a moment ago, but I talked over you. Mm. Also, he was a Broadway star. Mm-hmm. Super kind guy. Mm-hmm. His opening night card to me... I think he did this somehow for everybody, but you open it up and it looks like a funeral card, a sympathy card.
Totally. I forgot like, about that.
Like, I'm so sorry for your loss. And then he crossed it off. Yes. It was like, happy opening.
Totally, totally, totally. Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. Yes.
But that our stage crew mm-hmm. went on strike
yeah.
on opening night.
Yeah.
And... In the moment, I didn't really fully understand what was happening.
Yeah, me either.
Because we all just went into high gear and we're like, okay, well, we have to do a show anyway. So how are we going to do this?
Yeah. How are we going to move all of the set pieces and do all the things and all of it?
Right.
All like, of it.
It was just a flurry. I remember someone called their husband and was like, can you run the yeah. soundboard tonight? And they did. But now that I look back on that, oh. Annie, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
That was a huge deal.
It was huge. Yeah. It was a huge, huge deal. I also remember being off stage, I think that exact night, and Sandy was singing You're the Top, and oh. she went, blah, 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 whatever it was. Oh my gosh. And she just laughed about it. And I was like, it was so, oh God, there was a lot of joy.
Oh, it was, in that show. It was a very fun.
Yeah.
Fun group of people.
It totally was.
I don't know if this was the same show or not, but I remember that Sandy was supposed to sing You're the Nose on the Great Durante. But I think it was the same night. She went, You're the Nose on the I Don't Know Who, la 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 la.
Totally.
And then she comes off stage and she's like, oh, well.
Yep,
like,
totally. Totally. Oh, she's
Sandy Duncan, I know you're listening.
Yes, you're totally listening. We love you. We still love you, Sandy.
We love you. We mm-hmm. remember just how kind and wonderful you were mm-hmm. to everybody. I also remember on like the very first day, we had to go around and introduce ourselves, and it gets to Sandy and she's like, hey, I'm Sandy. It's Triscuits, not Wheat Thins. And yes, I do have a glass eye.
Totally. I totally remember that too. Oh my gosh. Talk about authentic, right? I mean, right. that's that energy. That's, she was. Yeah, is.
She was. She is. Yeah. She's kind. Yeah. Kind soul. Mm-hmm. And then after that, mm-hmm. Cats. Was that the next show we did together?
It might have been. After that, I went and started working at Chan.
Yeah. You Cats, were before I was.
Yep. Cats was my last show. Period. Cats was my last show at Chan and my last theater
show. No, you
came
back for Anything Goes.
Oh, I came back for Anything Goes. Never mind. And I got to hang out with Jim Walton again because yes. he was there. That's right. Never mind. Yes. You are correct.
Yes. Yeah, so
but yes, we did Cats together.
We've done Anything Goes twice
yes,
together.
Yes, totally.
Yeah, yeah, we did Cats together, which we were just talking about, like, it was wonderful. I don't know what it was like as an audience member. As a performer, I really enjoyed that show. But... man, my body.
Yeah. Everybody's body. Yeah. Everybody's body got messed up in some way, shape, or form. My favorite like memory of the rehearsal process was when, you know, we went through the whole thing and we sang through the book and all of the stuff, and then all of a sudden we're all standing there in our, you know, in our dance gear, garb, whatever, and they start handing out the practice tales. And we had to put on the practice tails. And I remember all of us sort of looking around at each other being like, oh my God, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this.
Yes.
And then getting on the floor and becoming Cats was just, it was just wild. It was nothing. Crazy. It was like unlike anything I had ever experienced and or thought I would ever do.
I remember, right? I think it's probably the same day, our stage manager, Susan Magnuson, had done a whole bunch of research on Cats,
yeah.
gave us like a pamphlet of information on like how to move. Uh-huh. We watched some videos and then all of a sudden they were all like,
and
okay,
go.
Yeah. And so we're crawling around and we're like, you know, playing with our tail or trying to like snuggle, nuzzle up into the person next to us.
And I was so also bizarre, giggling. I was giggling. Like, I'm sorry. It was just surreal. Like, it was like, what are we doing? I mean, we're being cats. But yeah, that show was something. It was very beautiful and fun. And it's actually, it's where I connected with a lot of my dear, dear friends that I still have today. So I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You included.
So you did Cats and then Anything Goes. Mm-hmm. And so that's the last time you've done musical theater at all?
Yeah. So after Cats, I moved to New York City. Mm-hmm. I had broken up with my college boyfriend. I decided it was now or never. My mom was a fashion designer and used to take me to market to dance and stuff when I was growing up. So it was somewhere I always knew I wanted to move. And it was like, if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it, because there was this pocket of time. So I moved, and then I got the call to come back for like 4 weeks or something back at Chan. And I loved that experience. But when I moved to New York City, I had done some auditioning because I was lucky enough to have my equity card. And so I'd done the auditioning and all the things. But for a really, really long time, even while I had been out at Chan, I had been, I had been writing songs. I'd been starting to write, but I wasn't sharing them with anybody at that time. And just was finding so much joy in it and really, truly so much healing in it, especially after I moved. And there was such a shift in just everything. You know, I think I was 25. Like, that's that pivotal time where, you know. And so when I got done with Anything Goes, I really was trying to figure out what it was that I wanted to do. And I had one of those days where I woke up and did my journaling and my meditation and literally just asked spirit to sort of guide me to where it was I needed to go. And I ended up getting on the train and deciding to get off and didn't realize that I was right near the New School and Manhattan School of Music, and like walked out of this tunnel and there was this door that led me into the New School, and I just started wandering around, and all of a sudden I found this bulletin board. And there was this lyric writing class that was starting the next day, and I signed up, and I sort of didn't really look back. That person, his name is Henry Gaffney, I still remember him, was the person that told me to get involved with the Songwriters Hall of Fame New Writers Workshops, and that led me to, it led me to so many opportunities. I was in a showcase with Lady Gaga. Now her name's Stephanie.
I remember you talking about that. I don't know what we were watching, but you said Stephanie sings so much better than this.
Yeah. I remember being on, so she was in that showcase. Lizzie Grant, who's now Lana Del Rey, was in that showcase. My friend Rachel Patton, who I ended up touring with later, was in that showcase. And it opened up tons of doors for me to be able to book places. It was such a gift for me to be able to be involved in that. But I remember being like at the gym or something on the elliptical machine, and she came on, and Ellen with like some whatever. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, what's happening? Like, what's happening? She's so, because I saw her sit down at the piano that we have now all seen her do. But, you know, it's just a testament to the music business and how you have to put on some sort of spectacle, and you can't actually be authentically you unless you find those spaces, or at least in the culture we live in now, in big ways, it's really, really difficult to do that. So, but it was, beautiful, wonderful experience. So that's sort of when I shifted gears and started performing more and putting out music, and realized that that's what I wanted to do. I loved theater. Yeah. I loved being able to connect with people. But I realized after a while, especially when you know, I was lucky enough to work at Chan and do 8 shows a week for 8 or 9 month runs at that time. But there, you know, came to be a point where, I really just wanted to sort of write about what was in my heart and connect with people in that way, because it was such a healing process for me in order to do that. You know, there's an experience, as any writer knows who writes anything, or a painter or whatever it is that you pour your heart out into, or even the writers of the musicals, right? You know, you pour your heart into this art, and it can, you know, it has this opportunity for you to heal, and then you can share it with the world. And that's where you can find some of your people. You know, your people, not everyone's going to be for everybody, but it's just this way to kind of find your people and connect with others and to sort of heal together and collectively. And healing isn't easy, as you know, but it's so much better when we can do it together.
Yes. Yes, it's so much better when we could do it together. Mm-hmm. Because there's a commonality there that, and yet, like, we know this. I feel like a lot of people know this. It's easier to heal together than separate. So why are we, I still gravitate towards the separate, mm-hmm. even though I know better.
Right.
What do you think that's about?
Well, I mean, when I sit down and write a song, I am not one for co-writing, and I've tried, but that sitting down to write a song is separate. I mean, I wouldn't say it's separate because the spirit is with me and sure. all of the things. But that is like a solo sort of act, but it's in the sharing and in the witnessing that we're not separate. So I think there's room for both, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
But I think it's the witnessing piece that's so key.
Yeah.
And affirming and, yeah, important.
I love that. The witnessing part. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you are watching, you know, a performance or, you know, like I can think of a singer-songwriter or this particular group named Bonnie Light Horseman. And if you haven't listened to their records, they're just amazing. It's like the super group. Anais Mitchell is in there and some other Twin Cities musicians, actually. And I went to this beautiful, intimate venue and just to be... and then I was at ACL and I was watching Maggie Rogers and I cried through the whole thing because if anybody knows me, like I cry through lots of things because they're just so beautiful. But to be able to witness that person and see yourself in them and see your journey in them is just... It's so key and so important because we all are connected. And I think that there's so much in this world that wants us to forget that and maybe lends itself towards not remembering that. And I always try to, I don't know, gravitate towards things that help me remember, I guess, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. It reminds me of, I think we've talked about this before. Maybe we haven't. Annie and I have a mutual friend. Hi, Eric Mark Olson.
I just talked to him this morning you and did. Told him I was going to get to see you.
Hi, Emo. Mm-hmm. We miss you.
Mm-hmm. Love you.
I remember talking to Emo on the phone like years ago. Sometime after Cats, and then he and I did hair together after that. And he told me about this book, Conversations with God.
Yes.
Yeah, he's the first person to tell me about this book. I've read it several times since. In fact, I try to have it be a yearly read for me because it's really made an impact on me. And I'll just briefly describe it and then bounce back to talking about knowing. It's by Donald Neil Diamond. Just kidding.
I think his last name's Walsh.
Walsh is his last name. Yeah. It's like Neil Donald Donald Neil or...
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And I think for some of you listening, this is going to sound a little woo-woo, but to me, it made total sense. He was journaling and was pissed off at God, universe, source, energy, whatever you'd like to mm-hmm. call this. He calls it God, but also acknowledges like, call me what you want, like it doesn't matter what you call me. And he was writing a letter to God and he wrote something like, why are you doing this to me? Like, God, why are you doing this to me? And then he started writing more but he felt like he was channeling God, and God said, do you really want an answer to this or are you just venting? And he's like, what's going on? How are you? And I'll pause for a second and say I was taking this class in college and we did this exercise with our non-dominant hand, and it said, just let your non-dominant hand do right whatever it wants to, let it just happen. And I was like, this is some bullshit, but okay. and I was writing stuff that anyway
I might have to try that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I should like find the research on that and then post it instead of just like,
no, I love that.
That's, yeah. But it reminded me of that, where you can channel. Mm-hmm. We all can channel good or bad, you know. Absolutely. And anyway, in this book, Conversations with God, among other amazing gems, it just talks about like, you know, like we know. Mm-hmm. We know everything that we need to know. Mm-hmm. We know where we're from. We know that we're from love, you know. And then we're born, and then I'm not going to say it's like evil devil people. I don't know about that, but like we unlearn what we know. Mm-hmm. And then during our lifetime, we are remembering the knowing. I don't know if any of that makes sense.
It totally makes sense.
We were talking about that, Annie. Yeah. I was like,
it totally
that
makes
book
sense.
Helped me understand that.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
That I'm from love. I am love. Mm-hmm. I give love. We're all love. Mm-hmm. Or God, if you want to call it. We're mm-hmm. all spirit, source, energy, love.
Absolutely.
Higher power, whatever.
Absolutely. Elizabeth Gilbert right now.
Oh my God. Did you just listen to her most recent podcast?
Yeah. Well, with Glennon Doyle. Yeah. So she's, yes. I was lucky enough that a dear friend gifted me her Substack for a month. And yes. So I got to like witness, and I should probably just go back to that because it was such a beautiful practice. It's called Letters from Love. And she's been having this practice for years and years and years where she sits down and she writes on a piece of paper, "Dear love, what will you have me know today?" And she, you know, literally, I mean, I think she's channeling. Yeah. I think that she is tapping into unconditional love. I think that, I think also she's tapping into her higher self and her knowing. And that is the whole thing that we're all trying to sort of, you know, when you say listen to your gut, well, I mean, what is that voice inside of you trying to tell you that you need to do differently, or what should you say, or how do you what changes do you need to make in your life to make them better, or what people do you need to let go of or bring in order to have a fuller, more whole life? And it's just beautiful the things that have mm-hmm. come through. And I think Abby Wambach mm-hmm. read her letter, and yes. she was so afraid to write because she's like, I'm not a writer. Like, this is Liz Gilbert and Glennon Doyle that I'm talking to here. Right. But it was profoundly
yes.
beautiful and helpful and insightful and affirming.
Mm-hmm. I love this, Annie, because I just listened to all of this yesterday.
Me too.
Of course you did.
Of course you did.
Can you tell us about, like, have there ever been any moments in your writing? Like, do you get aha moments where you're writing where all of a sudden you're like, oh, I just tapped into something?
Yeah.
Can you share what that's like?
Yes. I'm not a super duper prolific writer. Like, I have friends that write like 58 songs a year or whatever it is. That's just not, no matter how long I beat myself up for it, like, I finally have come to the place where I'm like, that is just not how my writing happens. But I always know that I am onto something when I have been working on something and I get to a place in it and I just start sobbing. Mm-hmm. That's like my, okay, this is something that you need to finish. This is something that you're tapping into some important things here. I definitely feel like, and I think all writers do and all artists do, like, that a lot of it's channeled. Like, I don't really know a lot of times where things are coming
Absolutely.
From. And I am one to believe that I, you know, have lots of guides and, you know, help around me all the time, physical and non-physical. Mm-hmm. So sorry for the people who don't like the woo, but I am absolutely woo.
I love it. I love the woo.
But yeah, I think that's definitely like the place where I know that I'm tapping into something. And part of it could be, yes, I'm tapping into something, but part of it also is like me witnessing myself and getting to this place where I'm like, okay, yes, this is something that I need to heal. There was a point in time in my life where, which has been really interesting for me, actually, speaking to, you know, songwriting being an avenue for me to heal myself. I was in a relationship for a number of years, like a decade or a little more. And I was always writing, I was on tour, I was putting out, you know, records. And this was all pre-COVID. And I went through a divorce, and a separation and divorce right before COVID, and have since put out numerous like singles. And have when I started playing shows again, the more length I got from, or the space I got from, like when those other songs that I was in this relationship were, and the time where I would step on stage and play them, there was this probably year and a half of time where I would play this song that I had written during that period of time and realize that like my subconscious was trying to tell me something, or like I saw it from this completely different span of things, where like there were things that I knew that were going on that maybe weren't healthy for me or that weren't good for me, that I was actually putting into my songs, but not in a super conscious way.
Yeah.
And now I can put them in a super conscious way because I am no longer in that situation. And that has been profoundly healing for me and interesting for me to like sort of look back as in my healing journey, like maybe I'm trying to touch on like those things that we do to sort of protect ourselves when yeah. we're going through it. And when we're like, okay, I want to heal this thing and I want to get through this thing, but I don't know how to do it. And so I'm just going to move forward, you know, as much as I can and in baby steps. And just looking at like the growth over the last sort of 10 years yeah. around that has been really interesting. And I sometimes wonder if those times back then when I would cry would be like me sort of recognizing things and not wanting to name them because of what it would mean if I did. So yeah, it's just interesting. Art is interesting. It's just very interesting and healing and wonderful and all the things that
I want to touch back on something that you just said. That you might be writing or singing or performing and all of a sudden you have a reaction mm-hmm. that sort of feels like, ooh, what's that? What is that? Mm-hmm. And that maybe that was a moment of clarity for you mm-hmm. about either your marriage or whatever. Like, because this happens to me sometimes mm-hmm. where I'll definitely pre-Paul, mm-hmm. like in my relationships pre-Paul, where there would be perhaps we would call it a red flag or something, but just this moment of, ooh, this doesn't feel right to me at all. And I would recognize it and I would immediately be like, we don't have time for this.
Right.
So like, I'm not going to think about it anymore, mm-hmm. but my body.
Your body always knows. Always.
I still haven't read the book.
The Body Keeps a Score.
It's on I'm in a nonfiction book club and it's on our book list this year.
Brilliant. It's brilliant.
But yeah, and especially because you are so tapped in spiritually, creatively, it's not surprising to me to hear that you have had moments mm-hmm. where your body's like, ding, totally. Hey, Annie. You
know, totally.
I can't.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, two examples that I can think of. One is that when I put out my first record and I needed to sell the guitar that I wrote the record on in order to like pay some bills. Cause it's a lot to be an independent artist. And
oh gosh, I can do that.
And so I took the guitar that I was playing in place of it, and I opened up the guitar case, and I wrote this song called Goodbye Now. And it's all about like saying goodbye to this guitar and how I knew it was time to say goodbye. And like, I think that the bridge is we tried with quiet lying, too much more time and too many knots will need untying. And like, I wasn't writing that freaking song to the guitar. I was writing that to my marriage.
Right.
And there's another song, I think the most recent one, when I was on stage and I realized like, holy moly, like there's a song I wrote called I Won't Walk Away. And the lyrics are hindsight shining a bright light on the street fight between what's wrong and right. And the actual chorus is, I won't walk away from you. And it's repeated, I won't walk away. I won't walk away. I won't walk away from you. When I wrote it, it was, I won't walk away from you because I'm here, because I'm doing all the things because I said I was going to love you. Mm-hmm. But I sang it like, but I wouldn't walk away. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't walk away. And I kept not walking away.
Right.
And how like the art can change. Yes. And how as you go through the healing process, how it can become this different thing. And it's not bad or good. It's actually a testament, I think, to my healing that I've come through it and that I can see it in this different light.
That's beautiful.
It's bizarre. Yeah, it's bizarre. Well, thanks. It's bizarre. But
with the group that I work with right now, Alive and Kickin', they're all 61 plus. I think it's 61 to 89 right now. And one of the, just similar to what you were just saying, is that one of my favorite things is we give them a piece of, well, I don't, but the directors mm-hmm. give them a piece of music. Mm-hmm. And because of where they are in their life, hearing them sing like Born This Way or Forever Young, you know, a while ago, someone sang that, but he was about 90. I think he was singing it from his wheelchair, you know? So it's like just how art, I'm just thinking about what you said about how art is, it's so beautiful that way because you can look at it from so many different angles, or the thing that I sang about 5 years ago, when I sing about it now, it has a completely different meaning, or mm-hmm. it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful how art can evolve with
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm. And bear witness as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Will you talk more about, because this is not anything I knew about you, Annie. So, because my time with you was all musical theater, really. And then you moved to New York and I came out, and that was the first time I saw you as a singer-songwriter, which was just lovely because I just didn't know that you'd been writing all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I know it didn't work out like this in real life, but in my brain, you left Minneapolis, you went to New York, and all of a sudden you're gigging everywhere. And I was like, what the heck? I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Side note, funny story. Annie was doing this gig at a place in New York called The Living Room.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, so I visited you.
That's
when you
right.
Were, yes. Because this person came up on television the other day and I had to stop.
Oh my God.
Tell Paul this story. So we're at The Living Room. Annie, I don't know if you did a full gig or if you just.
I think it was a part of like a showcase or something.
And it was so fun. And I think Emo stopped by quick too just to say hi.
Yeah.
And we're getting ready to leave. And we got to get over to Hoboken. We got a big train ride. So we decided to go to the bathroom first. And these kind of bathrooms are super common now. But back then, it was two individual stalls for any gender. And then you come out and you wash your hands together.
Yeah.
And I think you and I were going to the bathroom at the same time. And we come out to wash our hands. You know, we're talking, whatever. Look over. And it's Ethan Hawke.
Like
he's in line for the bathroom or
something. Yeah. Yeah. And then 2 weeks later, I was back for another thing. And Jesse Harris, who wrote all the stuff for Norah Jones, had become an acquaintance of mine.
Yeah.
And so did the bass player. And we were all standing around in a circle, and all of a sudden Ethan Hawke comes up into the circle, and I'm like, well, there you are again, because they're all friends. I don't know if I ever told you this. And then all of a sudden, like, they were going around, and he kind of smiled at me, and I kind of smiled, and I was like, and he all of a sudden reaches out his hand. He's like, hi. He's like, I'm Ethan. And I grabbed it, and he's like, Ethan Hawke. And I was like,
yeah, I know. Yeah,
duh. I mean, of course you are. And I don't know. I probably was super awkward and weird, because it was like, oh God, I just saw you with my friend in the bathroom last week. But
yeah, I remember we looked over at him, and then we looked at each other through the mirror.
And like, then we ended up like giggling on the way.
And he was like, hi. And it wasn't, he's an attractive man, but it was more just like I was giggling at least, because more like, what the
heck? Yeah. What strange reality are we in right now? Yeah. There was so many weird things like that happened when I lived in New York City that were great and interesting and all the things. But yes. Oh my gosh. I forgot about that. I love that you brought that up.
But then, so then you're doing this for a while. For a long time, you're still doing it, and then you move back.
Yeah.
And here's the part I knew nothing about. You start practicing Reiki, which, go see Annie for Reiki. Sound healing. Oh my gosh, sound baths with Annie are the best. Astrology. I didn't know any of this about you, Annie. So tell me about that part of the journey. Has that been something that you've always wanted to explore, these other modalities, and you finally said yes, or like, how did this happen?
I had astrology books in my room when I was 14, 15, 16, and have just always been fascinated by it. I'm fascinated by any sort of, and I always take what resonates and leave the rest. And I'm not one of those people who are like, it has to be this way or that way. I just think it's a beautiful practice, and I love any kind of practice that's going to help us tap into the energy that's swirling around and give us affirmation, or, you know, even like Clifton Strengths or other things that help us. Yes,
you mentioned Clifton Strengths. Because, oh my gosh, I just took it last week.
You did?
Yes, because several people have been like, "Have you ever?
What are your things?"
He was like, "I'm not gonna pay $56." Okay, I will. Yeah. But literally just last week, I did it.
Oh my gosh, do you remember what your numbers are?
No.
Or what your things are?
I mean, empathy is the first.
So is mine. I knew it.
Empathy, like developing.
Developer, so is mine.
Developer.
Restorative.
Okay. Meaning, I didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah.
But it means that, like, I enjoy fixing broken things. Not necessarily items, but like relationships.
Totally.
I can't remember the other two off the top of my head.
Awesome. Oh my God, I love it. I can't wait to talk more about it. I think I'm empathy, adaptability, maximizer, belief, and the one you said that were the same that I forgot.
I already forgot about the two.
Yeah. But I love any kind of thing like that, or awesome. Just that helps me understand myself and the people that I love better. I just love that. So that's sort of how I got interested in astrology. I have been doing different sort of spiritual work and things and meditation and all of that forever. And I started when we moved back to Minnesota. I was a part of just like a group of women, sometimes men, but mostly women, that would gather around the moon's cycles. Mm-hmm. That was just a very supportive community for growth in general, spiritual growth, all the things. And then somebody had mentioned to me at one point in time in like 2012 about sound healing. And I was like, I don't understand what that, and then I became a mom and just didn't really have, you know, I was just in that phase of my life and didn't really have time to sort of look into that. And then I experienced my first sound healing in 2018 and then went through all of this transition. And, I have been doing all of that work, but I had to do it in secret. In my relationship. Yeah. So as soon as I wasn't in that relationship anymore, I was able to just step more fully into who I am.
And that's probably why I didn't know about it.
Yeah, I think so. I think I was always afraid to be judged about it. And now I just don't really care, because I'm going to be who I am and all the things. And I've you know, we always find our people, right? No matter what it is, especially if we were just talking about this before we started recording, that, you know, the more fully you step into yourself authentically, the more easily you're going to find your people, and yes, the more easily you're going to have the witnessing and the, you know, all of the nudges that you are in the right place, that kind of thing. So I had my first sound healing with Three Trees, and it was profound and it was amazing. And then I had been sitting doing this beautiful meditation, and it was right after I was right in the midst of so much transition and so many things. And I was always so grateful that, and this is a shout out to like all of our theater and music community friends. Like I moved to the cities, and I was so lucky because I knew that I could walk out my door. I'm going to cry. And I had a family of people that would support me in all of the things. And I was doing this beautiful, I did this meditation, and I had this beautiful vision of like music and different things and the water. And I don't remember why I'm talking about that piece in general, but I came somehow, the sound healing, like I had a flash of it. And so when I came out of the meditation, I was like, I wonder what he's doing now. And I looked on my computer, and I found out that he was going to be doing a training. And it was literally like right after I was going to get my, like with enough time after I was going to get my vaccine and things were starting to be safer. And I thought I was going to be going to Sedona, where I had the sound healing. And in the midst of all of my transition, I had met with my really dear friend who I met in Hoboken when I lived there, Liza, who was helping me with some career coaching. And she was the director of like programming at Kripalu, which is in the Berkshire Mountains in Massachusetts. Yeah. And so circling back to the 2018, when I had this sound healing with Three Trees, there was this vision that I had during it where I was walking up this hill, on this grassy hill, and all of a sudden I looked and there was this dog, and all of a sudden I looked, there was like Three Trees with me. And I walked up this hill, and there was Liza's face. And this was like, I hadn't talked to Liza in 5 years, 6 years, yeah, maybe. So I ended up getting all of, fast forward to when I started signing up for the retreat. And he's like, well, we actually live in the Berkshires now, and this is all of the things. And so literally my last training, I walked up the hill with his dog, Marley, and him, and like, you know, got to introduce them, you know, and all of the things. So, I don't know. It just has felt like a really beautiful, like, I am where I'm supposed to be. Lots of those little moments, yes, and little like affirmations around, stepping into this work. And I've been so grateful, because I just know that it's helping a lot of people. Yes. I had somebody at one of my sessions a couple weeks ago come up to me and say, you know, can I hug you? And of course I said yes. And, because I am a hugger, no offense for people who aren't. And she just said, I have fibromyalgia. And she said, and I hurt usually all the time. And she's like, I don't feel any pain right now. So, you know, there's a lot more and more science that's coming out around it. And which is wonderful and affirming for people who are skeptical, but, it's just a really beautiful practice to help calm the nervous system and just to tap into our higher self on top of all of it, and to relax, because there's not a whole lot of times where we take for ourselves, you know, to actually slow down, right, and take care of ourselves. So I hope I just answered your question. I feel like I just went around in a big circle, but I do that. So there's that.
Well, I will take a pause here just to say that, I'm going to link all of Annie's info in the show notes. I recommend all of the things. Please buy her albums. Mm-hmm. She's on The Current. Call them and say, please play Annie Fitzgerald's music more. she gigs all around. Annie gigs all around town. I've benefited from her Reiki sessions and the sound healing. Mm-hmm. just in a, and you know, and I've talked about this on the podcast, but like a year ago, 2 years ago, I was in the middle of trying to figure out what the hell was wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And the times that I was with Annie doing either Reiki or sound healing, just my nervous system, it just calmed down. Mm-hmm. It calmed down. And, mm-hmm. and not only did I have less pain, which obviously we all want, but my brain finally settled down a little bit, in or because I was in such a heightened state all of the time because I was constantly going mm-hmm. from one place to the next trying to figure out what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
My brain calmed down mm-hmm. and I just felt like I can handle it like this. I can handle it, mm-hmm. you know? And it's sold out. I'm so lucky though. I get to do a workshop with you in mm-hmm. a few weeks.
Yeah.
Like a new year, sound healing, astrology, all, like all the things.
Intention setting. We're going to yes. do all the things. There will be more. I think we're going to do them quarterly. My business partner and I, Don Marian, are coming together just to bring those sort of opportunities where we can come together and be witnessed and tap into ourselves more and set intentions and all of that. I'm really looking forward to that.
I
so glad you're going to be there.
Love it. Me too. Good job, me, for doing that. Good job, Annie and Don, for offering. Yeah. Let's wrap it up because it seems like a good time to wrap up. But I need you all to know Annie. I don't know how. I need you all to meet her. So figure that out, please. Mm. Or we could go listen to her together. But just like your whole vibe is just, you're just beautiful. You're just beautiful. I'm just so happy to have had this friendship with you for so long. Like, you've seen so many versions of me and you still show up. Mm.
Always.
Know? Yeah.
I feel the exact same way about you. I love you so much. I love and I'm you so too. Proud of you, all that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. We're gonna say goodbye. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Bye, everybody. As always, thanks for healing and growing with me. Mwah!